No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucs, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
What's going on, everybody? It's Wisco Fanatics back. Full house Packers episode. We are starting our 2024 NFL draft series. Today we have offensive line on the docket. We are starting with the offensive tackles, going to guards and then centers. Tyler will give you a breakdown of the numbers of all those. But before we start with that, we wanted to do a little review on the Packers free agency. And this topic was brought up by Simon, so I'm going to give Simon the floor first. So, Simon, what's your initial thoughts, buddy?
I just want to quick hit your guys' thoughts on the kind of coming and going free agency. I think there's a couple surprises, maybe on our end, like the Keyshawn Nixon re-signing and A.J. Dillon's coming back. And then, obviously, Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs incoming. So I guess let's start with the negatives, go to positive. So what were your, so this was like initial thoughts on AJ Dillon coming back.
Okay.
My initial thought was I hope it's not more than $3 million. That was my thought. And the fact that they figured out a way to have him get like an extended fifth year option where he can make between like 1.2 and 1.3, I think is kind of a win-win. You know, you're giving AJ Dillon another chance to try to prove himself, but it's going to be behind a guy who's a three down back. So you're probably taking some reps away from him and hoping that he can increase his efficiency is the way I'm looking at it.
That's a good way to look at it. Brian, what's your thoughts, man?
I mean, yeah, once I seen the contract structure, it's just like, okay, well, like they can literally cut him for nothing this spring. Hopefully he'll be a little more driven and be, I'm not saying that he hasn't prepared or something, but he just, every year he's taking a step back and I don't know what that would be. So it's fine. I still think we draft someone mid rounds and see if, you know, they cut him. All I'm going to say is with them bringing them back, I hope they don't plan to use him the same way as much as they did with Jones. Josh Jacobs needs to be the majority of the carries.
I agree with that. My initial thoughts before I give Simon the floor here is I 100% agree with that. Now, I do like Dillon in both areas. He can catch the ball. We obviously know that. And he is a guy that will take the pounding on short yardage situations. Okay, settle down. Settle down. Settle down over there. And let me finish my sentence. Okay, calm down.
He's not effective in short yardage.
That's my biggest thing.
He hasn't been to this point, but I don't want to strictly live in the past, right? We've talked about this on the show before, not living in the past, letting guys improve. And if that's an area of concern for him, then obviously he has to do something to make that work, right? And like you said, Bryant, about the contract, that just makes it a win for Green Bay, in my opinion. Yeah. If you're going to get a guy that's going to come in as cheap as he can, they can cut him literally for free. He's handing the reins over to Green Bay and their management with his future. So if he really loves Green Bay that much, I'll take him. Simon, what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of like, what at first? Because no one, and I guess no one would have bet that Aaron Jones was going to be the one to walk and A.J. Dillon was going to be the one to come back.
Yeah.
No one could have guessed that. No. But
I guess said Dillon likes them cheeseburgers.
I mean, who doesn't?
Eddie Lacy obviously does.
Yeah, that's true. But I think when you kind of like take a step back and look at every free agency move, because we brought a couple like bottom of the roster guys back, like Ballantyne's back as well. Robert Rochelle is back. Yep. The linebacker, I forget his name. Wilson. Nope, the other one.
Christian Welch.
Welch, yep, that's it.
Yep.
And yeah, Eric Wilson back too. Like, to me, like all these moves are like Gutekunst wants options in the draft. He doesn't want to pigeonhole himself to like one area of need, and like running back, he shouldn't feel the need to like overpay for a guy in the draft. And like, I mean, if we walk into the season with AJ Dillon as our RB2, I'm not even that upset about that.
Yeah, he's serviceable enough to where if Josh Jacobs, which he has missed a few games the last few years, that Dillon can step in and we don't completely lose the offense. It's just that he's not that effective. And as, if their plan is to give him as many carries as they were the last 3 years, I think it's a mistake.
And there, and Gutekunst is definitely going to bring a guy in for competition too.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I think they like Emmanuel. Somewhere. Is it Emmanuel Wilson? That's his name.
Yeah, right? Emmanuel Wilson.
Like him too. And he showed some flashes like and some bursts of speed too before that shoulder injury kept him out for a while.
That's the thing is that you Simon mentioned the word competition. They can draft a guy in the fourth round and have the three of them compete for two spots essentially.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to say on any of the other free agents? I mean, Keyshawn Nixon is back on a 3-year deal, which was kind of unexpected. We kind of all thought that maybe if he was going to be back, it'd maybe be one.
I feel like we all paid for him.
So that was the thing. It's like no one knew his contract thing until like 3 days ago or something like that. His situation. So
what is it like 3 for 18?
18. Yeah. But I didn't see like the specifics of it. I haven't gotten to dig into it much yet.
So on average annual value, it's $6 million, six and change, call it. Looking at other slot corners, the like top of the market slot corner is around 10. And that's the dude from the Colts. So six for a serviceable slot corner who is also an all pro return man. Yes, we've had discussions about how he returned.
Really serviceable in the slot. Was getting cooked. I mean, he made nice a couple plays here and there, but
he might be inconsistent, but he is serviceable.
Yeah.
And the returning, I don't know, maybe with the new return rules, if they're going to change.
That's where I was going with
it. It could, because he gets to start running, you know, without anyone running at him. It could be interesting, but do you pay $18 million and hoping that that rule gets put in place and that he can thrive with that rule?
Here's the thing about that too, is he's had the mentality the last couple of years of he's going to take it out and he's going to return it for a touchdown, where other people haven't had that mentality. So he might have a leg up on guys in year one if a new rule is passed. That's just my thoughts on that. So he could honestly be a real bargain with the new rule. And he commented on it actually today or yesterday. He was like, let this rule pass. I'm taking three to the crib, I promise.
Yeah.
He had a decent coverage grade as far as PFF goes.
We have to see what Halfley will do. He has one of the best safeties in the league now behind him, who we all like. I remember, so just to jump ahead a little bit, everyone was all excited. We signed Josh Jacobs. I was like, oh, this can't be good. I didn't think there's any chance we're holding on to Jones at that number. And I can't remember if I said it to y'all or maybe I said it to my brother and my cousin, but as soon as I cut Jones, I said, they better fricking turn around and sign McKinney, keep McKinney real quick to like get the news out there. And of course, within an hour they signed McKinney or whatever it was. So honestly, if you told me we were trading Aaron Jones for McKinney and Josh Jacobs, I would do it 100% of the time.
Every time. Thank you. Every single time.
I love this question. Gustavo asked us, what do you guys think about the rumor about Justin Simmons? I cannot tell you how happy I would be if the Packers did that.
I guess I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen the rumor either.
Oh, from Brazil. Awesome. What's going on, man? That's sick.
Brazil. Wow. Kidding. I know they don't like
French. Yeah, hey, that's Jake. Awesome.
Hey, Jake, read his last name. I know how much you love reading names.
Have at it, Jake.
His last name?
Yeah. Buddy, I read the first name. You can read the last name. It's called
Buddy, I apologize. I'm just going to say I'm sorry right now. Look.
Lorenzo? Pop it up again. I didn't see
it. Pop it up again.
Lorenzo?
This is... Okay, so I'm just going to show you on here.
Lorenzo?
This is the rumor. I'm going to put it right here. That Justin Simmons is at the Green Bay Airport.
Oh, come on. That's fake. That's from like 2 years ago. That's
an older picture, too.
Yeah. Oh, God, dude.
Are you trolling me?
That was the same one. They're like, "Oh, who was it? It was in the airport."
Was that Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, it was like I've seen that thing like 3 times. God damn it!
Yeah, I don't know that it's gonna happen, but I would love to see Justin Simmons in Green Bay.
I would too.
I think the only position we maybe pigeonholed ourselves a little bit with in the draft so far is that. We have to take a linebacker early, I think.
And I'll say this, Steve, who's asked a couple questions on here, it asked us in our group chat that we have, would you guys trade for Bobby Okereke from the Giants?
Didn't the Giants just pay him?
I thought they just re-signed him.
They signed him last year. Was it last year? But if it's an option, I would 1,000% do it.
Yeah, it just depends on what they're asking for because he played.
But that's, again, that's where we've kind of had this discussion a little bit so far is the flexibility that Gutekunst has remains.
Yeah, he signed a 4-year, $40 million contract last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Steve said Amos let Eddie Jackson cook in Chicago and McKinney could unlock others. That would be interesting to see. Yeah, so let's talk some tackles.
Maybe they'll put Nixon
in. I would hope to see Simmons at Green Bay would come to fruition. I would love that as well. That would be insane. That would easily give the Packers one of the best, if not the best, safety room in the NFL.
If they put Nixon there or if they sign Simmons?
If they sign Simmons.
Yeah. Simmons and McKinney would.
Simmons and McKinney would be disgusting.
That would be
families, as the kids say.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with tackles. Bryant, I'm going to go to you first. Actually, no. Well, I mean, can we all just say on three who our number one tackle is?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Joe Wall.
Jordan.
What?
Okay. No, so everybody's different.
I'm just fucking with you.
Who did you say?
I said Jordan Morgan.
Oh. I mean, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
I would love him in the third round.
That high, though.
Jake, who's your number one?
I have Joe Alt.
Okay. Yeah. Simon, who's your number one?
Joe Alt.
Bryant, who is your number one?
J.C. Latham.
Really? J.C. Latham, number one. I like it.
Interesting. I like
it. I don't have him there, but I like it. So, Simon, you wanted to emphasize Joe Alt. You are muted, bud. Oh, or I can't hear you. Steve said, what's happening with Hyde? Rumors, but nothing yet. That's the latest we know as well. It's just rumors.
Also, I love Hyde, but why?
Yeah, at that point, honestly, like I get the appeal of wanting to bring him back, but I'd almost rather see what we could get from Anthony Johnson Jr. because that dude can lay the wood.
I wouldn't mind Hyde as a mentor for Johnson Jr. though. We could play some three safety lineups.
Simon can't talk, but he can just see his disappointment.
Well, why am I gonna Hyde at all?
No, that's not what I was shaking my head at. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm out on Hyde. I think not my thing.
We missed that boat when we were taking it.
All right. Anyways. Simon, Joe Alt, have at it.
Yeah, we're not getting this guy. He's going in top 10 easily. Probably top 5.
Maybe top 5, yeah.
Yeah. 6'8", 322. He's only 21 years old. He has a RAS score of 991, which is insane. Athleticism. Exclusively played left tackle in college. Only allowed 4 sacks and over 2,200 snaps. And that's just insanity how much he's played a lot of football and played very good football. Pros, extremely high IQ, very good flexibility and hand placement. He's very quick for his size, and I think he can excel in either gap or zone blocking schemes. I mean, this guy is a plug-and-play player through and through. I think the only real con is sometimes he overextends and gets a little off balance, but that's about it.
Yeah. He's pretty easily my number one, I think.
Yeah.
Steve said Notre Dame is an O-line factory.
Yeah.
All right, number two, I have Olu Fashanu. Jake, who's your number two?
I have J.C. Latham.
Simon, who's your number two?
Olu Fashanu.
Bryant, who is your number two?
That's right, I have Joe Alt.
Okay.
So just a touch for J.C. Latham, for me, he's just such an – he's a literally athletic freak. I mean, 6'6", 342 pounds, running a 4.85. I mean, that's insane. So it's just like a tank.
He grew up in Milwaukee, by the way.
He's just going to bulldoze people in the run game, and you know what I mean? So that's why I had him number one. I feel like he's like – Joe Alt is going to win with technique, and he's big too. But I think J.C. Latham would be type that will just win with strength.
Yeah.
J.C. Latham is like one of those guys where earlier mock drafts had him going like top 15, and now with other guys rising into that area, that J.C. Latham could fall maybe into the late teens, early 20s, that I could see Gutekunst packaging some picks to draft, like to trade up for.
And I'd be okay with it. He's huge too. 6'6", 342. That's a big-ass boy.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Gustavo asks, what do you guys think Goody will choose at 25, and who would you choose? What would you choose?
Well, don't know yet because I don't have all my players coded.
Right. So yeah. we're gonna have a live mock draft show. It's going to be the Friday before the week of the draft. So we're doing all of our position groups leading up to that. So today is offensive line. Next week's going to be defensive line and edge. Then we have linebackers and corners, and then we have running backs and something else. Running backs and linebackers. We're doing cornerbacks and safeties together. And then we're going to do mock drafts, and actually Mike Spofford from Packers.com is going to join us for that. And then we're going to be live during day one and day two of the draft. So right now I'm seeing a lot of Cooper DeJean, which yeah. I'm okay with. That would be really interesting. Steve said Packers have a type with top 50 offensive linemen, and they're rarely over 320 pounds. Yeah, That's fair. We'll see. J.C. Latham's a big boy, though. Yeah. All right, number three is where I have J.C. Latham. Jake, who's your number three?
I have Olu Fashanu.
Simon, who's your number three?
I have Talise Fuaga.
Talise Fuaga.
Love him. I love him so much.
I do, too.
Bryant, who's
your number three? I don't think the Packers are. I will take him, but...
That's where I have Olu Fashanu.
Okay. That was one of the guys you wanted to highlight?
Yeah. So 6'6", 312 pounds. Like the gentleman just said, maybe that would be someone the Packers could target too, especially I think if he slides a little bit. So I do think he'd want to put a little more weight on, but he's an elite athlete. So he bench pressed 405 pounds, squatted 605, and power cleaned 350, which is a huge amount of weight. Power clean. So he is, you know, fluid for his size and uses it to get into winning positions for pass and run blocking. A good thing about him is his short area quickness. So he's pretty quick in short areas. That helps with, like, you know, screen game and stunts and all that kind of stuff. So he does need to learn a little bit of control with his technique because he can kind of tend. He doesn't want to sit back and be patient a little bit. He tries to lunge at people, and that can kind of get him off balance and out of his, you know, his shoes a little bit. So once he realizes, you know, no, I'm just better than everyone, he can kind of sit back and let them come to him and just use his power and athleticism to, you know, make those plays.
Michael asked the question, best question for you guys is, which a tackle fits best with the Green Bay Packers, the BYU kid, which is Kingsley Suamataya, or the Arizona kid, which is Jordan Morgan, possible at 41. I don't think Jordan Morgan's going to make it to 41. Suamataya definitely could. Steve's getting a little ahead, bringing up Graham Barton. We'll get to him for sure. Number four, I have Amarius Mims at number four. Jake, who's your number four?
God, I hate these names. Talise Fuaga.
No, and just Fuaga.
Fuaga, damn it.
You're close.
I was trying to practice names for the last 10 days, man. I'm just horrible at them, but I'm here.
Simon, who's your number four?
I have JC Latham.
All right. Bryant, number four?
Troy Fatanu.
Troy Fatanu. I like it. I like it. Number five, that's where I have Graham Barton. Steve just brought him up as a guy that can play multiple spots. I think he's a guy that just because he's 6'5", that people want to move him to guard. But I do think he has the ability to play tackle, and that's why I have him as a tackle. You look at some outlets, and some outlets will say that he's going to be a guard or an interior offensive lineman, especially with having experience doing so. Keep an eye. I think he's a guy that can play tackle. Number five, Jake, who do you have number five?
I have Amarius Mims out of Georgia.
All right, that's one of your guys.
Yeah, he's also pretty big, by the way, 6'8", 340 pounds. I wrote down a giant athletic mountain of a man. Like, when you turn on the tape, he looks big next to other big people, and that's kind of scary when you really think about it, right? He has size, athleticism, and strength, and he can be a little slow getting out of his stance going against speed rushers, but he is absolutely a bulldozer going forward in the run game especially. He could play right tackle and left tackle. He has huge hands and tree trunk arms, man. Those things are long and they're strong. He's a monster. Needs some coaching to not stand up from time to time, which he tends to do, but he's a big boy, man. It's hard for him to sit down in that three-point stance sometimes. And he gets into some hand-fighting situations, which I didn't really love when I was watching that, which is why I have him down here in the middle of my list. But he still has the raw talent, and if he gets the right coaching – and who's better at draft and develop than Green Bay, especially along the offensive line, right? If he gets the right coaching, I think that he has the potential to be a future stud. So that's why he's kind of in the middle of my rankings.
Simon, who do you have at five?
I have Troy Fatanu.
All right. Brian, who do you have at five?
That's Rob Talese Fuaga.
All right. That's one of your guys as well.
Yep. So 6'6", 324 pounds, ran a 5.1 340, which, you know, that doesn't matter too much for offensive linemen. But when, kind of like I mentioned with JC Latham, his is just kind of off the charts a little bit. So he has, you know, he's large, but he has good control and smooth movement into his pass blocking. He doesn't really waste a lot of movement. So his technique is pretty strong. You know, and he moves in between his blocks nicely. So kind of like we talked about getting to the next level. He's able to do that. So he's already a really strong, you know, in run blocking. One of the things that he needs to work on, kind of like Jake just talked about, is kind of coming off the ball too tall. Once you get, you know, the lower pad level normally wins, especially with some of these pass rushers that get super low to the ground and bend. You don't want to be too tall. So he needs to improve that part of his technique a little bit. But yeah, that's what I have on him.
I said to Jake shortly before we started the show that I think he's the best right tackle in the draft, and I think he could be the best run-blocking tackle in the draft.
I can see that.
All right, so I'm going to go to number seven. That's where I have Troy Fautanu. He's my first guy that I wanted to highlight with this. Now, just hear me out here, because this tackle draft is insanely deep for 2024. So the fact that I have Troy Fautanu at seven does not shy at all away from the fact that I think he could be the Packers' first-round pick. I actually have written an article about this. I think 2024 could see an NFL history record number of tackles drafted in the first round. I think the current record is 7, and I could see 8, 9, maybe even 10 drafted.
That'd be disgusting.
It's the tackle depth for this year's
draft. There's a lot of good tackles, yeah.
So looking at my rankings, the top 9 that I have are all first round graded or being mocked in the first round. So Michael said BYU kid is a genius, can write with both his right and left hand in that interview with the Senior Bowl. I did not know that. And that's Kingsley Sumataya, who is, no, spoiler alert, number 12 on my list, but could easily be a second or third round pick. There are that many good tackles in this draft. David said, offensive line is the greatest need. Bakhtiari gone, Runyon gone, Nyman gone. Myers and Newman are in the final year of their deals and are mediocre on their best days. Jenkins is a stud at left guard. Walker and Tom had good years at the tackles. Ryan is a wild card, not much depth at all. And that's the thing, is they're going to be stocking up on depth. As far as Yosh Nyman is concerned, Caleb Jones is another one of those guys who was just kind of like a depth re-signing, a guy that was kept.
Where did Yosh go again?
Yash went to Carolina. Panthers.
Yep.
Hopefully he gets the chance to start there. I hope he does.
Did they release the contract?
I think it was like 2 years. I think so, but I didn't take a look at it.
I think it was like 2 years and like, it was like $8 million or something like that.
I'm just going to pull it up and see.
I'm just wondering for comp pick. Like, I don't know that we would get any because we paid so much for Jacobs and McKinney, but.
It does not say. I'll look and see if I can find it once. 3 year. Oh, that's not the Packers. That's the Packers, not the Panthers. 2 years, $8 million with the Panthers.
Okay.
So I would say that doesn't really. Yeah. Okay. Troy Fautanu, my number 7. I have him at 6'4", 317 from Washington. He's another guy who is, because he's 6'4", a lot of places are going to kick him as a guard just because he's 6'4". So Troy Fautanu, I saw that he has good hand placement to not allow defenders to get to his body. So with him being smaller, that's important, I think. His athleticism gives him good footwork and the ability to get to the second level. In 1,336 career pass blocks, he allowed 3 sacks. That's insane. He's good at picking up passed off blocks as well. And then just for some cons, I have him that he's slightly undersized at tackle at 6'4". He does have 14 penalties in the last 2 years. I think he could improve as a puller in the run game. And then looking at Texas, playing against Texas, he can be beat with swim moves. So I think, number 7 still isn't bad. And I do think if he were to be drafted at 25, I think he would give Rashid Walker a run for his money for starting job. All right. Everybody, did I get everybody's number 6 and number 7?
No. No. You skipped 6.
Yes.
I skipped 6 because Bryant's was Talizia Kuaga, and that's who I have at number 6. That's why I skipped 6. Okay. My number 6 was Talizia Kuaga. Jake, who is your number 6?
I have Troy Fautanu.
Okay. Simon, number 6?
Amarius Mims.
And Bryant, number 6.
Tyler Guyton.
Okay. So everybody knows that my number 7 now is Troy Fautanu. So, Jake, who's your number 7?
My number 7 is Jordan Morgan, and that's my second guy that I'm going to cover. Tackle out of Arizona, 6'5", 311. He has very heavy hands. He likes to punch, and he likes to get out on guys pretty quick. He's good at getting out of his stance. He has an NFL frame. That's the first thing that I noticed. A classic left tackle NFL frame, 37 starts, all of them at left tackle. So he's basically, if you're drafting him, you're drafting a left tackle. He's a good player in the floor scheme because he's very good at play action game. He's very good when he can get his hands on you first because he has very good grip strength and you're not getting away from him. I promise you that. He gets a little choppy when he deals with speed rushers on the outside. I would like him to, open that stride up a little bit, but then at the same time, with him getting choppy, he allows himself to be open to guys coming across his face. So that's something that he'll definitely need to work on. I think he plays a good physicality, and he has really, really good agility and timing on screens. What is so funny?
Nothing. Just move on.
I'm just reading what I wrote.
Go back a couple sentences.
Keep it moving.
All right, so I work with children. I work with children here. I have 2 kids upstairs. This is what I deal with all day, people. I want all the viewers to understand this is what I deal with all day. Nothing wrong what I said.
Go to the chat.
Just roll the tape. We'll just roll the tape.
People coming across his face? There's nothing wrong with that. Grow up.
I said keep moving. Term. Anything else? Anything else on Jordan Morgan?
He'd be a decent draft pick.
Okay.
He'd be popular in the locker room, that's for sure.
Yeah. Simon, who's your number 7?
I have Tyler Guyton.
All right, that's one of your guys as well.
All right. Tyler Guyton, 6'7", 327. 22-year-old, has a RAS score of 9.4. Played almost exclusively at right tackle. And only allowed 2 sacks and over 1,000 snaps in the last 3 years. He has elite movement skills with great kick slide, and he has very good power with his initial punch. Sometimes he can be late to stunts and twists, often plays with a high pad level at the snap, and his hand placement is a little inconsistent, and makes it difficult for him to maintain blocks.
So I can speak to Tyler Guyton a little bit because I was actually able to interview him at the Senior Bowl. He does not have an offensive lineman build. Like, he's definitely
like a tight end,
6'7", but he looks lean. So the fact that he weighed in at 327 is interesting because he does not look it.
So that that might not be his like weigh in at like the combine and stuff.
I have him at 320, so I mean it's not far off.
Yeah.
322, yeah.
Yeah. The hand placement is definitely something that I asked him what he was there to work on, and hand placement was his answer. So that's just true to your point. Michael said that everyone forgets about our current backup at tackle, Caleb Jones. I just mentioned him. The beast of a man and Luke Tanuda, the highest rated O lineman in the preseason last year before he was injured. His rehab went well and he's ready to contribute. So Michael, I'm gonna kick that up to David's comment on Josh Myers, that Luke Tanuda and Josh Myers, should the Packers say not draft a center, that Luke Tanuda and Josh Myers could go in training camp as a battle for center.
Luke Tanuda is interior.
I think he's a center guard, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Why did I think he was tackle? Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought he was a tackle. Guard, center, not tackle.
One of the three.
He plays on the offensive line. I know
it
that.
It doesn't matter. Every tackle the Packers take ends up being somewhere along the line.
We're taking Jackson Power Johnson at 25, so it doesn't matter.
Dude,
I wouldn't even be mad.
I wouldn't be mad if they traded up to like 18 for him.
Yeah. So
Michael said he played tackle last year.
That's what I thought too.
All right, my number seven is Marius Mims. Sorry,
CJ.
I like him too, Jake. I like him too, Jake. But he didn't play in a lot of games and injury concerns, so that's why I moved him there.
Luke Tanuda is not playing center, bro. He's 6'9".
All right, I was mistaken then. That's my bad. All right, never mind that idea.
He's cornerback five. He's gonna play slot.
Good luck, Jordan Love. You can't see shit.
Hope he didn't need to see the middle of the field. All right.
Never mind. Well.
My bad.
He can go play center for Aaron Rodgers.
All right. My bad. Okay.
You imagine trying to throw over that dude?
just hitting him in the back of the helmet again. You got to duck down or something for me.
He has more batted balls than any defensive lineman.
We need to get him healthy and put him on field goal blocks. That's my bold prediction for the season.
Getting the bold predictions
in
early. You're going
to take Nyman's spot on the field goal block, Brian.
Number eight is where I have Jordan Morgan. Jake, who's your number eight?
That's where I have Tyler Guyton.
Simon, eight.
I also have Jordan Morgan.
Brian, eight.
Also Jordan Morgan.
All right. Well, that, you know, was that means you want to be a Packer consensus when I have to put that together.
That's okay. A second round pick right there, Jordan Morgan.
I'd be okay with it. I don't think he's going to make it to 41, but if he does, I'd be okay with it.
Okay.
Number nine is where I have Tyler Guyton. Again, having him at nine doesn't mean I think he's a bad tackle. I could still see him, even though I have him as my ninth tackle, being the ninth tackle taken in the first round.
This is a deep tackle class. Good.
Super so deep. I think I researched like 18 or 19 tackles to get to a top 15 and then still had some left over. I know we're only doing 10 for the show, but I worked with another outlet to do some offensive line scouting. So
traitor.
Jake, who's your number nine?
That's where I have my favorite tackle, the sleeper tackle, Kingsley Suamatia. Did I do that good?
So I think it's Taya. That's just me. It could be. I didn't find any pronunciations of his names. I just went what I know off of guys who have similarly spelled names. Simon, who's your number nine?
Graham Barton.
Okay. And Bryant, number nine?
Patrick Paul.
Okay.
It's Tia.
It is Tia?
Okay. Suamatia? Oh, let's go, baby.
Good job, Jake.
I got one right.
Steve said, out
of seven, it's Taia.
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 Oh, God.
I'm not doing all that.
Yeah,
the disrespect.
Dude, when I just real quick, when I was looking at these tackles, like just looking at the list of the rankings before I even started anything, I was looking at the names. I was like, bro, this is literally my fucking nightmare, right?
Well, you got Fashanu, Fatanu, and Fuaga. It's like,
right? I was like, what is happening? Dude, you get then
and
you get
Green Bay is going to draft all
I'm
of
not
them.
Going to say much about him, but at number 15 is where I have Kieran Omega-G.
Love it. I love
like,
it.
It's what insane. Steve said, with so few glaring holes, I'm preparing for anything in the draft. And I think that's what Gutekunst is doing as well. And we kind of touched on that with some of the free agent, you know, guys that are being brought back, is allowing that flexibility. And I think still with 11 picks, they could move up as well. Okay. Number 9 is where I have Tyler Guyton. Jake, who you have at 9?
I don't.
Oh, that's your sleeper guy.
We did.
Yeah, I thought we did 9.
Okay, number 10, that's where I have Patrick Paul.
That's where I also have Patrick Paul.
Nice. Simon?
I have Kingsley Sumataia. I had Patrick Paul just off my list.
Oh.
Who is your number 10? Sumataia. Okay, I have Sumataia at 12. And then I just want to throw out one other guy is Dominic Puni. I have him at 11. Dominic Puni is a guy that can be put into guard or tackle. And to the question earlier from it was Michael asked who best fits with the Packers. I think Dominic Puni is one of those guys that could fit well with the Packers because he has played guard and tackle. So he's another one of those guys that, you know, some outlets are going to have as a guard, some are going to have as a tackle. And I think he's capable of playing both. He has a strong frame, quick feet, and has last two seasons 783 pass blocks and 0 sacks allowed. And that's at Kansas.
So Tyler, did you read about Suamatia? Did you read the craziest thing I read? He hit 21.5 miles per hour at his size.
Goodness, that's wild.
Can you imagine getting hit by that?
6'5", 326 miles per hour, bro. Imagine like, him running up on a safety or a corner.
Dude, that's like, I was just going to say, could you imagine being a DB at 195 pounds and getting ran over by a 20-pound truck at 20 miles an hour?
Pretty sure that's around the speed that Luke Musgrave hit around at the Senior Bowl last year.
Think about that. That could be your left tackle or right tackle doing that. You could have Musgrave and Kingsley leading the way for Josh Jacobs, who already wants to rip your freaking face off.
Yeah, I just want to see him running down the field ready to block a safety one time. Oh, business
we should draft Kingsley Suamataia, and then we should also draft Kingsley Aguakun, and then have 3 Kingsleys on our team.
I'm with it.
All right, let's move to guards.
We can call him the Kings 3.
What's that?
The Kings 3.
Kings 3. Dude, I'm so down. I love Kingsley Aguakun, and he was awesome at the Senior Bowl. Let's move to guards. I'm going to start because number 1 is my guy that I have to highlight. I have Christian Haynes at number 1. 6'2", 313 pounds. He went to UConn, and I think one of the reasons that he doesn't have a lot of hype from a lot of like national outlets is because UConn. He played at UConn, and they did not have a lot of overly talented skill players. Whether it be quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, running back, I don't think they have a lot of guys that like really made their offense something that people were excited to watch. And I think that poorly reflects on Christian Haynes because he is a beast. He's a great athlete who can pull and get to the second level. He has strong hands, is really good at turning his back to the hole to create holes for running backs, and has over 3,000 career snaps.
Golly.
So very experienced. I do think he has to keep his feet under him. He played exclusively right guard in college. He is potentially vulnerable to speed rush. And like I said, I think his effectiveness as a blocker is overshadowed by a lack of talented skill players at UConn. So, Jake, who is your number one guard?
So if I could have done a 1A, 1B, I would have, but I couldn't. I had to rank him. My number one is Cooper Beebe. This is my guy. And I'm very happy that you did career snaps because I also did too. He has 2,953 career snaps, so not as good as your 3,000 snaps, but pretty damn close. He came in and he was just good from day one. 6'3", 322 pounds. He has 7 starts at right tackle, 13 starts at left tackle, and 28 starts at left guard. So this guy can play all over the line. He just sounds like a Packer. He was a consensus AP All-American this last year. He's the first player in Kansas State history to do that. He was a team captain, and he was the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year in 2022 and 2023. So this guy's just racking up all the accolades. Very smart player, very good feet, awesome at getting to the second level, and just a gamer, in my opinion. When I thought of him, I was like, this guy's a gamer. This guy would fit in with the Green Bay culture, and I would love to see him suit up for Green Bay. My favorite line when I was reading, I read a couple different articles. They said he's built like a refrigerator, and I was like, I'm in. I'm in, dude.
I would love, like, with all the how you know, people seem to lean tackle early in the draft, I'll be totally fine with us going interior high, because I feel like if you get Christian Haynes or Cooper Beebe or one of my guys on here that I have ranked number two, it's an instant plug and play for me. Like,
yep.
I feel like they're instantly approve your team. So.
Yep. Yeah, but you know that's the nice thing about having those two top 41 picks is that they could – one of these guys could easily fall to 41.
Because if we take a tackle, you know, they still got to beat out Zach Tom. That's not happening unless we push Zach Tom inside. I think Zach Tom could be an all-pro right tackle. Just
leave him there.
And then Rasheed Walker has, you know, showed improvement and kept getting better, so there's no guarantee he'll get beat out at left tackle.
I mean, the only two positions that are actually center cemented right –
are not cemented, in my opinion.
Cemented are left guard and right tackle. I don't think there's a way.
Nope,
why would you move Zach Tom? Like, at this point, I don't see a reason for them to move Zach Tom.
Nope. I agree.
I'll throw this out there, too. You know, I mean, we haven't seen a ton of him, but Sean Ryan's going to compete at right guard right now. He's the quote-unquote starter.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Myers is on the last year of his deal.
Yeah.
So they could just, you know, later on in the draft somebody and just essentially be planning to let Josh Myers go. And again, this is the flexibility of it. They could still sign somebody or trade for somebody.
You know who's still on the team that we could give a shot? Ryan Newman.
Stop.
Ryan please. Newman?
Whatever the hell his name is.
Ryan Newman is a NASCAR. Straight out of NASCAR, straight into the center position.
What's his name again?
Royce.
Royce, whatever. See, he's trash.
You don't even know his name, bro.
He's so bad, dude.
Ryan Newman, right out of the car, right into the helmet.
Exactly. He should speed out of town, is what he should do.
Just a different helmet.
That's true. Steve said, we're now super young with a team full of goodies guys. I can see some big swings and trade-ups. Hard to envision 11 draftees and more undrafted free agents making this team.
I don't think we're making 11.
Unpopular opinion, I hope we trade down in the first round.
Hmm.
I would love to gather day two picks. Really? I think there's a lot of talent in this draft, and it's pretty deep. So if we can just get a bunch of guys put them at positions, I would be perfectly okay with that.
If we could trade down into the second and get like a second and a, I don't know, that we maybe trade our first and our fourth for a second, a third or something, and just have like six picks in those two rounds, that'd be pretty sick.
Dude, our day two stream would be lit.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, can you imagine? We'd be doing day one on Thursday in April, and the Packers trade out of the first round, and it'd be like, all right, well, good night, everybody. And then we get to day two, and like every 5 minutes, we're announcing a Packers pick.
And we're talking about them until our next pick.
Exactly, yeah. So since the Packers last pick 3 minutes ago. Okay, Simon, who is your number one?
I have Cooper Beebe.
Bryant, number one?
Christian Haynes.
Nice.
I like Split.
So we might end up with a 1A, 1B here, because number two is where I have Cooper Beebe.
It was close for me, dude. It was really close.
Number two is where I have Cooper Beebe. Jake, who's your number two?
Christian Haynes. He's a stud, by the way. I just want to say that.
Yeah. Simon, number two?
Christian Haynes.
And Bryant, number two?
Graham Barton.
Okay, no. So we don't have a 1A, 1B. All right, okay. Shane's number one. I like it. Okay, number three, I have Zach Zinter from Michigan. Jake, who's your number three?
I also have Zach Zinter.
Simon's nodding. I'm guessing you do too.
Yes.
Bryant, do you also have?
No, that's where I have Cooper Beebe. This is because I put Graham Barton as a guard.
Yeah,
right. Michael said, if DeJean, Barton, Jackson Powers were gone at 25, I'd absolutely consider trading down. I don't hate Simon's idea. That's fair. I mean, if you're looking at those three guys specifically, I could still see drafting, like I said, Troy Fautanu at 25. But again, if none of the guys that Goody was like, I want one of these four or five picks, weren't there, then I could see it.
Is Cooper DeJean going to work out at anything at all? Or I know it's not, we got his tape, but
I don't know.
You kind of want to make sure it's okay.
Bro, he's a multi-sport athlete. He's literally, I think, everywhere he goes. He doesn't need a workout. He's fine.
Well, I want to say he broke his leg. I'd like to see
if Iowa's NFL draft pro do. They did do one.
Yeah.
That
was 4 days ago.
He set his first April 15th. He's doing a workout.
Okay.
So April 15th, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, real
close to the draft.
And that's not a bad idea because he might like wow some people there. You know what I mean? But right. I mean, yeah, I get he's a multi-sport athlete, but after a broken leg, you want to make sure the dude can run.
Like, yeah, he can fly, I think. And he could potentially take over for Keyshawn Nixon at return.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Dude is electric as a returner.
Yeah, trust me.
Hey, he could be.
We know.
He burned us a couple years ago.
When we played Iowa, he just absolutely took over the game.
Yeah, he owned that game. Imagine a white corner owning you. Shame.
In two different phases.
Yeah, shame.
Steve said preparing for the draft in Green Bay next year can see us trading out of the first after waiting all night. Yeah, that'd be tough.
Oh.
All right. Number four, I have Christian Mahogany. Jake, who is your number four?
That's where I have Graham Barton. I also have him moving the guard. He's got some short arms, so I think he'd be better inside.
All right. Simon, who's your number four?
I have Christian Mahogany as well.
Bryant, number four.
That's where I have Zach Sinter.
Okay.
So that's one of my guys. 6'6", 309 pounds. Big thing, kind of like what you and Jake talked about with your people, Tyler, was he's played 43 college games. So it was something like 2,500 snaps. He shows a mean streak as a run blocker. He can generate like that movement at the point of attack and is quick off the snap. Pretty good balance, and he can withstand the bull rushes. So he is 6'6", 309 pounds, so he does need to add a little bit of functional strength into that size to make sure he can continue and, you know, maintain that mean streak and that attitude throughout the game. But I think this is you get him in your offense, and after, you know, 1 year of off season in the NFL, like, he's just going to add that, like, where you see kind of guys really continue to grow and add that strength. So that's where I have Zach Sinter.
I want to throw this out there because I know it's going to be a question of people asking with Zach Sinter. He did get hurt on Thanksgiving, or like right around Thanksgiving. and it doesn't seem like he's going to miss any NFL time due to that injury.
He got hurt in the Ohio State game, I thought.
He did get hurt in the Ohio State game. I think that was 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, that probably means we're not drafting him.
and contrary to your point, Michael just said Zach Sinter is the only offensive lineman scheduled for a visit in Green Bay.
They could be looking at his medicals, too. So.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Number five, I have Javion Cohen from Miami. Jake, who's your number five?
I have my guy, Christian Mahogany. 6'3", 314. He showed some really, really good competitive fire and some dedication this last year when he had a comeback off an ACL injury in 2022. Didn't miss a single game, started every game, so that was a good sign for that. He gave up 7 hurries, 0 quarterback hits, and 0 sacks this last year, so awesome. He's not the greatest pass blocker, though. He tends to lunge once in a while. But in the run game, you know the classic word, he's a mauler. I would call him an absolute beast in the run game. He needs some work and some spatial awareness. That's where he kind of gets in trouble with the pass blocking. But he has 11 starts at left guard and 23 starts at right guard. So my point is he could start at left guard, not that he will have to a lot in Green Bay. But in a pinch, if something would happen during a game, he could move over to left guard if needed be. So he could show that ability to help us with the line. He played in a 60-40 run-pass offense, motion-heavy, and play-action-based scheme. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like Green Bay? I think he fits.
Yeah, that'll do. All right. Simon, number five.
I have Trevor Keegan. All right. 6'6", 320, 23-year-old, scored an 8.96 on his relative athletic score. Played almost all his snaps at left guard, only allowed 3 sacks and over 2,200 snaps in his 3-year career at Michigan. He really gets after the guy across him, has really good agility and to mirror his guy and sustain blocks, and very good awareness on twists and stunts. It doesn't feel like he consistently gets to the second level and has a bad habit of panicking and lunges sometimes in his blocks.
Brian, who's your number five?
That's Rav Christian Mahogany. And to answer Steve's question, I don't know that they'll reach just for a BC player, but I imagine they're going to go to Halfley and ask like the work ethic of those players and type, you know, or did they give you fits, or is this someone when you're scheming up your defense to play your offense? Is this someone you pay special attention to, stuff like that? And Christian Mahogany could certainly be one of those people.
Yeah.
Extra intel, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And I'll throw this out there. The one Boston College player that was at the Senior Bowl was Elijah Jones, a defensive back. When he saw I had one of my Wisco Fanatics shirts on. He saw the outline of Wisconsin on my shirt. Dude absolutely lit up in like the biggest smile and was super excited to talk to me about Jeff Halfley, and he's really excited about him in Green Bay. So hoping that that's something that that could work out there as well. Michael said my third to fourth round fit for Green Bay Packers is South Dakota Jackrabbit guard McCormick. Hold your horses a little bit, Michael, because you messaged me like 100 times about him, and I did look into him, and I'm going to talk about him. Spoiler alert.
Ooh.
Bryant, did I get your number five?
Yeah, it was Mahogany.
Okay. Number six.
What a great Ryan NFL name, really, to be honest, Mahogany. Just lay the lumber.
Nice. Number six, who do you have, Jake?
Davion Cohen.
Okay. Simon, six.
Layden Robinson.
Okay. That's your other guy.
Me. Yep. 6'4", 315, 22 years old. Couldn't find a relative athletic score, but he had a 94% broad jump, and Green Bay really values the broad jump. And it shows their what's it called? I forgot words right now.
Explosion.
Explosiveness. Thank you. Explosiveness. Played all his snaps at right guard, only allowed 5 sacks and over 2,000 snaps in his 3-year career. Has some very high-end physical traits and extremely light on his feet for his weight. Very strong grip that allows him to manhandle his opponents, and he has a very wide base and good patience and pass protection. He's effective if he's asked to pull. Sometimes he's a bit slow coming off the line and needs to work on his technique and pass protection a little bit and continue moving his feet.
All righty. Bryant, who's your number six?
Javion Cohen.
All right.
So that, yeah, 6'4", 324 pounds. Another player that played over 40 games in college. He went over 3 seasons without allowing a sack. He's quick off the stance and displays good footwork, effective movement in the screen game. He uses his hands well and has a strong upper body. He does need to add lower body strength, though, so he can anchor a little bit better. And he's quick off the snap, but he just improved his strength on his initial punch. He really needs to, you know, push people back there. But overall, you know, very sound technique. So, you know, would be a good pick.
My thing that I liked about Javion Cohen is that he got better as a pass blocker every season.
Yeah.
Number seven is where I have, or sorry.
Yeah, I think it was 1.5 sacks in like 4 seasons he gave up or something like that. So.
Number seven is where I have Layden Robinson. So I'm just one pick behind Simon on all of our guys. But Jay Cudi at number seven.
That's where I have Trevor Keegan.
Simon, seven.
Javion Cohen.
And Bryant, seven.
Trevor Keegan.
All right.
Yeah, hey, me and Brian right now. We're on the same wavelength.
All right. Number eight.
I just liked his hair. That's why he's there. So.
Number eight is where I put Michael's guy, Mason McCormick from San Diego State or South Dakota State. I wrote SD State, and I'm like, San Diego State. South Dakota State. 6'5", 315. He is a mauler off the line of scrimmage in the run game. He has good lateral quickness. He's a tough finisher. He's a 4-year starter at South Dakota State with over 3,400 career snaps.
Yeah, this one has been one of the best NCAA 2A or whatever college team in the
FCS.
The last several years, too.
Yep. And that's where Tucker Kraft came from. So he'd be coming from the same offense as Tucker Kraft. He does have a little bit of a high pad level, and he did have 10 penalties in 2023. So that's potentially a knock on him, as well as people. Just instinctively, because he didn't play in the BCS, that he's going to be lower on some people's rankings for that. So, Jake, who's your number eight?
That's right. I have Keaton Bills.
No way.
I just redid my rankings today, by the way.
Simon, who's your number eight?
I had Bills just off my list. I have CJ Hansen, number eight.
And Bryant, who's your number eight?
Keaton Bills.
Nice. All right. Number nine, I have Isaiah Adams. Jake, who is your number nine?
We're going to see. We're going to find out. We're going to find out what Bryant is about right now. That's why I have CJ Hansen.
Okay, no.
Oh.
I don't want no center with the last name Hansen. That does our guard.
I didn't even think of that.
Simon, who's your number nine?
Mason McCormick.
Okay, and then Bryant, number nine?
Layden Robinson.
Okay. Number 10, it could be in two lists. I have Tanner Bordellini at my number 10 guard.
Ooh.
And he didn't make my top five centers, so I wanted to make sure I got him into this list. So I put him as my number 10 guard, even though he does play primarily center, but he did play a lot of guard as well. So he's 6'4". He had a great combine. Like one of the best combines that you could have, especially as an offensive line. He had the fastest three cone ever as a center, faster than Jason Kelsey. He had the third best offensive line three cone drill ever. He had a 9.97 relative athletic score, which is absolutely elite. He has explosion, speed, agility. He's a strong anchor in the pass game, a good push in the run game. He can get to the second level. He does need to keep his pad level lower and stay over his feet so he doesn't get off balance. But I would absolutely love Tanner Bordellini as a guard or as a center or just as a guy who can do both. Jake, who's your number 10?
I had to do a 10 and 11 because I was so close on guys. I'm not going to name my number 11. But I'm going to name my number 10. My number 10 was Prince Pines out of Tulane, by the way. He was a pretty good player.
They were ranked for a good chunk of the year.
They were. And I love their uniforms. I don't know why. The green and the light blue, I don't know what's going on with that, but it looks good.
Just works. Simon, number 10?
Xavier Gadlin.
All right. Good job on the pronunciation there. Bryant, who's your number 10?
Matthew Jones.
All right. So for centers, we did do a shorter list just because there's only one center. You don't have a right and a left. So that list is a little bit shorter. Bryant, who is your number one center? And why is it Jackson Powers Johnson?
It's Jackson Powers Johnson. He just has excellent power and quickness. He's fluid, delivers good leverage, double team blocks, tone setting attitude, which I think is something we could – don't get me wrong, we have some mean people on the offensive line and they'll stand up for love and all that stuff, but I feel like we could still add someone that's a little more mean. Like I think back on like Mike Daniels, like on the defensive line. How great would it be to have someone like that on the offensive line? You know what I mean? So he stays cool in those stressful situations. So I think he would be good at, you know, helping Jordan with control the offense a little bit. He just needs to work a little bit on his hand placement. Like when I was looking into him and stuff, they basically said, oh, he needs to work on his hand placement so he doesn't have as many, like, stalemates. Well, it's not that he's getting beat. He's just not beating the other person. They're just tying or whatever you want to say. So, he doesn't get beat all that often. So, he just, you know, already has a high win rate. So, just work on that hand placement a little bit to make sure he does that. And his feet can get a little choppy, so which can get him pushed off balance. But other than that, yeah, I think he's clear-cut number one center pretty much.
Yeah, judging by the nods, I'm guessing we all have him number one.
Yep.
All right.
He's good.
Just move on to number two. Number two, Bryant, who's your number two?
Zach Frazier.
All right. Simon, number two?
Yep. Zach Frazier.
Jake?
My guy, Zach Frazier. So 6'3", 313. He has a wrestling background. So you could tell when you watch the tape, by the way. Listen to all this stuff. He's a two-time state champion football. He's a four-time heavyweight state champion wrestler. He only had two total losses in his wrestling career, his whole high school career. Two. That's it. He's an academic all Big 12 in 2020, 2021, and 2022. So you know he's got the brains. And you need to be smart as a center. People don't realize that they call the protections up front. And you could see that in his tape when he's up there constantly calling out the blocker. So he understands the scheme. He understands the defensive line alignments. He's a two-time winner of the Iron Mountaineer, the most outstanding performer in the West Virginia offseason strength and conditioning program. Oh. He won that in 2021 and 2022. This guy is a hard worker. This guy will get off the line, and he'll kill you off the line. He has a grinder mentality, and he has a finisher's approach. I'm very proud of that line, by the way. I worked very hard to come up with that. He wins at the point of attack consistently, but you, like I said, man, when he comes off the ball, you can just tell that he's a wrestler. The stance that he's in, he's got a hold of you. You're not going anywhere. He's another guy I would not be mad at if we took him in the second round. If he fell to us in the second round, I would be ecstatic, actually.
Yeah, I'd be good with that. So, number two, I have my guy, Cedric Van Pran, out of Georgia. 6'4", 310. He's a strong base. He has good hand placement. He's quick off the snap, and he's another mauler in the run game. Absolute mauler in the run game. He's super athletic with it as well. So I think that's something where he could be a benefit to the Packers as well as in the run game as well as in the pass game. He does need to get a little bit better extension to not let defenders get into his body, and he is strictly a center. Not a lot of positional versatility for him. So not expecting him to play guard if he is drafted at all. So Simon, I'll go to Bryant first. Number three, Bryant, who's your number three?
I had Bo Limmer there.
That's why I was thinking Simon. Simon, number three?
I have Cedric Van Pran.
All right. Jake, three?
I have Cedric Van Pran.
Okay, and that's where I have Zach Frazier. So, Bryant, who is your number four?
Cedric Van Pran.
And Simon, number four?
I have Bo Limmer, who's my guy.
Oh, man, we were almost on a roll there, same thing.
Almost. Bo Limmer, 6'5", 307, 22 years old, 9.8 RAS. Played all across the interior line, but played center last year, 2023 season. Allowed 8 sacks and 2,500 snaps. He has extremely good athleticism, obviously. Good bend, knee bend and lateral movement. I can't spell, Jesus. Can recover and reset. I'm like reading my notes. I'm like, ugh. Can recover and reset his anchor, and he's rarely late off the snap. Jesus. Solid run blocker who has a nasty demeanor and really good finishing skills. I thought he could get a little bit sloppy in pass protection, and he's inconsistent at getting to the next level.
All righty. Jake, who's your number four?
That's where I have Tanner Bordellini. Big, athletic, and Wisconsin is turning into center U. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Yeah, I mean, Tippmann was really good last year.
We send a lot of centers in the NFL, dude.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of them.
You can go back to Travis Frederick, dude. Like, we have a very long line of centers in the NFL.
That's definitely true. Number four is where I have Drake Nugent. Bryant, who's your number five?
Tanner Bordellini.
I
pretty much threw him in there for you guys.
I have him at six, so he didn't make my top five.
I mean, he's good. It's just another one of those guys, like, what position are they going to play? So, which is nice that they have that versatility.
That's why I threw him in there as my number 10 guard, just to get him in there. Simon, who's your number five?
Sorry, guys. I have Hunter Norzad. I'm going to be the guy that leaves Bordellini off.
He's my number six, so he's not
in there. Yeah, he was close for me. It wasn't, like, that far off.
Jake, who's your number five?
That's where I have Bo Limmer.
All right. And then I have Bo Limmer at number five as well. And I just want to throw this out there because I mentioned his name to give us the Kings three, the Kings Lees. Kingsley Aguakun, I have him as my number seven. I would love for the Packers to draft and stash him. He's from Florida, not a super like highly regarded prospect, but seeing him at the Senior Bowl like really made an impression on me with like how much of a finisher he is. Like, nobody could get by him in the, like, the five-on-fives when they're doing defensive line versus the offensive line. Nobody could get by him, and he finishes hard. He finishes through the whistle. So I would love for the Packers to draft him, you know, sixth, seventh round and stash him for the future because I think he's got the drive for it. So
yeah, it's crazy that you'll, like, see, like, the top seven centers that we might rank. A lot of them are going to be available sixth, seventh round. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bortolini might have dropped, you know, moved himself up a couple rounds and still go on the fourth.
I mean, where did we? I mean, we got Lindsley in the fourth second. Round, right?
Oh, yeah, he was the fourth round. Sorry, I thought you were going to say.
Don't be surprised if you get someone like Bo Limmer or Cedric Van Pran in fourth or fifth round.
Yeah. Agreed. Jackson Powers Johnson, seventh round pick for the Packers.
I was just going to say Jackson Powers Johnson. I think we could all say he's going to go in the
exception.
First.
Yeah, he's going to go in the early day two.
Probably. I'm willing to say that probably 22 of the first round picks are probably going to be offensive linemen and wide receivers.
Yeah, how sick would it be like if Cooper Beebe or Graham Barton fell to us on 25th, and then we packaged our two, you know, are moved up in the second round, and then grabbed like Jackson Powers Johnson at the beginning of the second.
I'd be okay with that. Just redo
the interior of the
line. Offensive line done.
We're drafting three offensive line this year.
I think I said four, especially if he's.
I wouldn't be surprised with four.
Yeah,
that's why
I
you know
three and giving Caleb Jones a chance at the Yash Nyman role.
I mean, you kind of have to at this point if he's been in Green Bay long enough, right? You know, and to go back to Steve's comment before about the 11 picks, I can 100% see us drafting 11 players, especially along the offensive line. You know, you're going to give a massive contract to Jordan Love here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
You threw damn near $50 million at a running back, and you're going to have to start paying these wide receivers in a year or two. You have to build this offensive line and make sure that you keep that quarterback protected, because we're probably losing one or two wide receivers. Let's be honest. I mean, Dontavian Wicks' price is going up. Jaden Reed's price going up. Romeo Dubs keeps catching 10 fucking touchdowns. That price is going up. Christian Watson is huge and fast. And if they actually figured out the problem with his hamstring, that price is going up. Okay? Everything is going
to
be expensive.
Luckily, we don't have to worry about it, any of them really for two more years.
But, I know.
After this offseason, because Dobbs and Watson will be entering year four. But I hear what you're saying.
You're going to want
to. It takes a year for everyone to get in hot, ready right? to roll, you know.
Yeah. So you don't know what you really want to strike and have that offensive line good. We're going into a new defensive scheme, and we're going to get into defensive players too. But one area that I think the defense needs to get better at is, you know, taking away the ball. And we're going to get there because they didn't really do that last year. But if they do that better, and this offensive line can control the clock with the run game more with Josh Jacobs, a guy who is a grinder and can get those tough yards, Green Bay Packers could be real, guys. Like, we could have had a one-year reset and a really fun half of a year. Reset.
We went further last year than we did the year prior.
I know, but it was really like a half-year reset if you think about it.
Right.
Packers versus the Jets in the Super Bowl, baby.
Bro.
God.
Bro, if it's rigged, that's happening. If it's rigged, that is happening. I'm telling you right now.
All right. So we'll be back next week. Talk about some more NFL draft prospects. Next week is going to be defensive line and edge rushers. This is just another area where the Packers have some guys, but depth is always important. So we're going to talk about edge and defensive line, especially with the new Jeff Hafley system, which is going to see probably more four down lineman sets than we've seen in the past 10-ish years since they went to a 3-4. So Packers are probably going to be looking to restock on some of those players. That said, Jake and I will also see you on Sunday night. Jake and I are doing our first watch party to test out what is going to become our Patreon subscription, which is going to be two watch parties a month. And Jake and I are creating our own pregame and postgame shows. So check that out on Sunday and watch the Oklahoma City Thunder game with us. And then check out our pregame and our postgame shows. And hopefully they go well. Other than that, I will see you guys next Friday. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in and commenting along. And we will see you guys next week.
See y'all.
Bye. Go, baby.